welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, and it is now or never. And let me kind of start because it's what we typically call Feedback Friday. And it's not a surprise that when I go through the Constitution, I do get comments. I do get feedback, but it's more of people that I'm directly dealing with because they're going through it and they're providing or asking questions for better clarity on some specific points. And so I could venture to go down that, but I choose not to today. And one of the things, I'll just share a shortcoming I have. I do not do well when people try to flatter me. I don't like it. And I've learned not to yell or not to get upset, but I still don't handle it well. I would much rather, people not use the platitudes and the you're so smart or anything like that. I don't care to be, what do you want to call it? I don't care for it. It's typically used by evil people to kind of undermine them. I mean, it is a tool of Satan. And so, and I learned that a long, long time ago, and I have been flattered by evil people a long, long time ago. And so, not that people that flatter me, in some respects are trying to do it evilly, but I'm just trying to share something that I don't do well with certain types of things, and that's one of them. You don't need to compliment me. You don't need to thank me. You don't need to do. I'm doing things on my own volition. If I'm calling, I'm working with you, I'm doing that because I want to do that. Believe me, if I don't want to do it, I don't have to do it. I'm secure enough to where I can, just go and kind of start filling sandbags and fortifying my home, and my wife and I can live, I'll just say, happily ever after, however long that is, right? So I just have this shortcoming, and I don't do well with it, and I know that it is a good characteristic of human beings to, to share appreciation and those types of things. And so I know that when people are being nice and they're being complimentary, they're not trying to necessarily flatter me, but it's the same path. And I just, maybe you have some ideas. Sometimes I'll actually just get stunned. Like I have to start thinking, am I being flattered? What have you? And I just don't know what and how. So I start reacting like that deer caught in the headlights. You know what I mean? Where what do I do? I'm in a position that I don't want to deal with this. And I have to apologize. Sometimes I think that my response kind of hurts people, and that's not my intent at all. I mean, it really hurts me to think that I have, caused harm or have caused ill feelings when that has never been my intent nor my design. So anyway, when people express an appreciation for what I have learned, one of the things that I want to tell them is that, most everything that I've learned is readily and easily available in, the ratification debates, in these documents that I'm actually reading. That it's not my desire to be the mouthpiece I don't care to be, I don't want to do this. I've said this a long time ago when I first started this, and I've said this several times throughout my life. I don't want to have to do what I'm doing. I am doing it because it has to be done. Right? I mean, I worked with a great guy. His name is Tony. And he's a good man. I mean, really, he's a good man. And what I mean by that is just little things. We'll be walking down the hall at work, and there'll be a little bit of trash. I don't even notice it. But he'll see it, and he'll stop, bend over, pick it up, and put it in the trash can. And it just amazes me that his level of sensitivity in doing the right thing like that is, I mean, it's just like, he didn't have to do that, right? He chooses to do good, and he sees good in different ways than I do. We all see good in different ways. And so with me, doing good is the truth. Doing good is based on facts, logic, and the truth. And so I want to actually help people understand what those words say. And so we're going to get into some, you know, because we've kind of covered this before, but it's like an analysis of the Constitution. So we're going to get into that today. But the reason I do these things, folks, is because having read these things, you know, it's like I've worked with and have studied the scriptures with, you know, very righteous people. And we equally feel the spirit when we read, you know, the scriptures, and when we, especially when we ponder on them, and, you know, some of the intents get revealed. And I always loved doing that and sharing, you know, my thoughts, notes, and so forth. And it's amazing how my view helps them and their view helps me. And so this is what I seek when it comes to the ratification debates and understanding the Constitution. I wish that other people would get there. Now, there are, I don't want to say several, but there are a few people. Now, one of the people, excuse me, I do have a cough. Well, you know, my lung disease is what it is. And there's points in time where I don't know if I'm just fighting something all the time and it just kind of vacillates, comes and goes, or what have you, or oscillates, whatever it is. But every once in a while, you know, and it's not once in a while in a day, it's like a couple of weeks, I'll, you know, my lungs will be good and kind of clear. And then there's these times where I don't have good, clear lungs. And just I'm going through one of those phases right now. So I may have to cough or what have you. And so forgive me if I have some breaks or pauses today. But the show will go on. Now, back to reading the Constitution and the ratification debates, like we read the scriptures. I would love to see that level. And so Douglas V. Gibbs is one of the guys that I have talked to, you know, and we debate and argue and we challenge each other. You know, what do you think about that? You know, what do you think about that? And sometimes we'll, I don't want to say take the devil's advocate type of view, but what we'll try to do is help each other be, you know, in determining, is there an argument against it? Because we have a pretty good shared understanding of the Constitution. And so as we kind of go through these things, it has kind of really helped us, you know, see things from different perspectives, and it really helps open our minds. And so we kind of have a regular conversation on a weekly basis. For the most part, we do that. And we're able to kind of go through these, you know, these, if you want to call them ancillary issues of the Constitution, or ancillary issues, you know, of what the framers said, what they did, or so forth, in a formal or informal capacity. It's interesting. But the point is, is that we all have to get there. As more and more people get there, and what I mean by there is having at least some level of fluency with the Constitution and its definitions. And you cannot understand the Constitution as it has been applied legally. I mean, you can get into a lot of philosophical space with Hamilton and with others, and you'll find that, wow, you know, that's insightful, but it's not legal, or it's not legally binding, or it's not legally attached to the Constitution. The ratification debates give you that. And so what I want to do is I want to actually share, because when people come along and say, wow, GR, you know, and they're very appreciative, I don't handle that well, but, you know, what I really want to tell you is that, you know, I want you to be that same person to a whole bunch of other people like I am. We need everybody in this snowball effect to, you know, make the wisdom of the Constitution larger and larger and larger and larger, so that as we continue down this path of restoring and reclaiming the Republic, we actually get, you know, a much greater understanding amongst the consciousness of the people of the United States. It's creating that collective conscience that we have to start building and developing a good, clear understanding of the Constitution. So anyway, we're going into a break. I'll try to clear my lungs a little bit, and we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic review. Please read my argument for Republic review, as well as my description of the Republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so where was I? So I was kind of clearing my throat, talking about, you know, it's not uncommon. As a matter of fact, it happens, you know, often, because the people I work for are really great people. And when I say work for, that's you. I mean, when you're in public service, I mean, you have to look at, you know, how you can be gracious, how you can, but like I said, I have my shortcomings. So anyway, if you want to put me on my heels, you know, start saying nice things about me, because I'm a very hard person on myself, and rightfully so. I deserve it, And because I know myself, and I believe any Christian would probably have a very similar perspective, because, you know, we realize how short we fall and how necessary Christ's atonement is in our lives and salvation. So anyway, all that being said, what I want to do is I want to ask you this question once again, because I've been asking you to ponder this. What kind of president does America deserve? Do we deserve the tyrant that we have? As a matter of fact, we don't deserve the tyrant that we have, because the tyrant that is in place was not put into place or chosen constitutionally. We have been bamboozled. There's lots of people that call us deniers. It's not about denying democracy. It's about the law and a Republican form of government and following the letter of the law. Now, let's just say that the current procedure of the Electoral College is the letter of the law, when we already know it's not. But let's just say, because I'm willing to accept the, you know, currently the process, I want to see us restore the actual process that's in the Constitution, that what we're doing is violating it. But clearly, based on the current process that they have been using over the past several decades in the choosing of the president, Biden was chosen unconstitutionally, because never, ever in the history of this republic has the states, not the state legislators, but its state executives and state jurists, decided to change this thing we call the manner in how we choose our electors. In other words, they changed the laws, and the only entity within this constitutional republic that has the authority to change those laws is, yes, your state legislators. So this is why 31 states violated and created unconstitutional electors, because the governor and because the jurist and or the secretary of state, whoever did it that shouldn't have done that, what they should have done is the governor should have called the legislators back into office. This was all done, under fraudulent intent. I mean, this, folks, when they do things that violate the law and they try to create some emergency, what they're doing is they're exercising tyranny, arbitrary rules and laws to get away with doing what they need to do to oppress us. You know, folks, it's time. It's time you start waking up. It's time you actually start fighting back and start using the entire Constitution. You know, anybody that's using one little part like the Second Amendment or the First Amendment or whatever little part of the Constitution that they're using to defend themselves and, to fight the little tyranny that they're focused on, they're not helping. They are a part of the problem. We have to take the entire Constitution as a full package of weapons and be able to use it and launch, a series, a battery, a barrage of different attacks and assaults against our public servants. See, we're not attacking the Constitution. They are. And we're defending it and calling them out. And that's the whole point of a self-government. That is the pure design. So the other thing I want to get into today is this January 6th commission and some of the key players, because I would love to see, and I kind of left a message for a key figure in Wyoming of what Wyoming could absolutely do in January, December, whenever, when these outgoing congressmen, because they didn't get reelected like Liz Cheney, when she finally leaves office, they can actually subpoena her when they get into session, and they can do, well, we'll get into that. But the two things I really do need to say is this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. So let's backpedal a little bit, and let's take a look at what kind of president does America deserve. Does America really deserve a president like Donald Trump? Now, Donald Trump did some good things. There's no doubt he, you know, started empowering, but he wasn't doing things right. He wasn't doing the right thing in those empowerments. And the reason I say that is because Biden was able to come right in and whew, with, you know, a waving of his evil wand, he undid all of the things that Trump did. This goes to show that the only way things can be done in this republic is for the president to actually, you know, constrain the enforcement branch. In other words, the enforcement of the laws of these unconstitutional bureaucracies, and work with the states in actually, you know, getting the states to stand up and prepare the states to start dismantling these bureaucracies. What would have happened? See, Trump did these great policies, supposedly. He did some decent, I'll just say decent policies on energy. But the problem is he allowed the Department of Energy to exist. And so as things ebb and flow with politicians and parties, we're going to constantly go from one side of tyranny to the other side. And Trump himself was using tyranny in making these changes. What should happen, and what should have happened regarding energy, is that Trump should have gone to the states to say, this department over here called the Department of Energy is unconstitutional. And it is actually inflicting upon you and doing strategies that are counterintuitive and antithetical to what they're supposed to be doing. And what we want to do is help you take back and dismantle, take back that power and dismantle this usurped power from you. Wow, what would happen if all of a sudden the state stepped forward and dismantled the Department of Energy and told the federal government, you had no authority. We did not give you this authority, and don't do it again without an Article 5 amendment, period, and poked him in the eye. Do you think that Biden would have been able to come in and just wave his wand and resurrect a completely dead and dismantled Department of Energy? Not on your life. There's no way. The states would have stepped up and says, look, we already tore this down. You're not putting it back up. This is the power of Republic Review. Because once the states understand that they can constrain the federal government from doing anything that they have no authority to do, wow, it becomes really easy. It's kind of like you're trapped and there's this, you know, long, long pounding of snowfall in the snowstorm that just hits you. You kind of have to dig out of your house or the cabin or wherever you are. And you need to start, you know, getting out and doing some things. And so you realize it doesn't take long for anybody to realize that if you walk out to go to, you know, town and go to different places, if you use the same path as much as possible, then your traversing through the snow gets easier and easier because you're pounding in a path. Having to walk, it's just like walking in the sand. Walking in the sand or running in the sand creates a level of resistance with every step. Same thing with walking through the snow. However, if you retrace those same steps, less resistance. And each time you retrace those steps, it gets less resistance and less resistance. And the point is that if we start using this process of Republic Review, this Jeffersonian and Madisonian process that these guys, I don't even know if they really developed it or if it was just the obvious thing to do. I mean, it seemed so obvious for Madison, and he wasn't taking any pride of authorship. This is what you have to do. And he was explaining to people, this is the fundamental tenets of contract law. So My point is, what kind of president does America deserve? America deserves a president that is willing to do the right thing and get it right by doing that right thing. So in other words, if the president wants to, you know, exercise unconstitutional power, then he's just as bad as all the other presidents. He may have done good in changing some policies that helped us, but he's still exercising tyranny. That is the big issue. It's the blatant and obvious issue that we need to talk about. And so, you know, it's the elephant in the room, right? And I love the fact that the mascot of the Republican Party is the elephant, because it really applies to lots of things regarding the Republican Party that they're not talking about. And we need to actually start addressing all of the elephants in the room that the Republican Party is not talking about. But anyway, all that being said, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. This kind of reminds me, I still not sent an email out to Michelle Bachmann to get her to come back on. We've just closing out and have started into the Bill of Rights now regarding going through the Constitution. So I see us wrapping up probably in another couple of weeks. So what I'll try to do is I'll try to send an email out before I wrap up so I can have those conversations. But one of the things I want to do before the end of the year is I'd like to see if I can get a couple of those businesses that I endorse on here. So I'm working to get Timber Nation on here. I'm probably going to get Gary Smith back on here. I'd like to get Stan Kluett and Ben Carr so that we can, you know, have some endorsements or, you know, conversations with these people that I'm endorsing so you can see why. But all that being said, we deserve a president that is going to faithfully execute the laws of the land, the Constitution. And so he can't execute tyranny, but he can go to the parties of the Constitution, which are the states, and he can ask them to do what they should have been doing all along and help them understand. I mean, getting a president to this is not rocket science. what Madison and Jefferson did and the way Madison talked about and helped people understand interposition and forcing the federal government into compliance, it's all right there in Republic Review. And so when you go to Reclaiming the Republic, it's right there on the homepage, and it is the top three articles on the Constitutional Articles page. So if you want to understand this, then there you go. And I don't think it's hard for any president to understand. The problem is that the presidents, the people that want to actually run for president today, actually want to be kings. We've had this mentality that our presidents are our kings since Andrew Jackson, because we actually treated them like they, you know, basically held the mantle of power well beyond what is actually delegated. You know, when they went to Andrew Jackson to ask him to create jobs, I mean, that was clearly asking President Jackson to violate his oath of office by creating jobs. He doesn't have that power to do that. And so I think if you're honest and you really, I mean, if you just want Trump, you know, then you just want your own version of tyranny. We need a president that is going to do what is necessary to help reclaim and restore this hybrid constitutional republic. I can't say it any other way. I don't want to say it bothers me, because I completely accept the fact that everybody else out on the airwaves is just out there dancing to the organ grinder as they, you know, kind of all gather around the problem du jour. Oh, this is going on, and this is going on. And they're striking at one little issue, or as Thoreau called it, they're striking at the branches of evil. And they don't care about striking at the root, because if they fix the problem, just keep in mind, if they fix the problem, then their money and their job goes away. I don't want to do this. Didn't I? I think I said this at the beginning of this. I don't want to be doing this. It has to be done. And so moving on, let me kind of get into this Liz Cheney problem. And it's not just Liz Cheney. Any Republican that has been up there chanting and supporting this tyranny and the violations of these U.S. citizens that they have in jail, these people that are demanding to go to Gitmo because the conditions in which they're being kept unconstitutionally, I mean, these people are trapped in jail. They don't even have a bail or an opportunity to even get out, to actually engage. Their fundamental rights are being denied by our own government, by these tyrants. Folks, this is what we've got, and this is what we have to fix. And so, well, how do we fix this? I'm going to tell you something. You want to start sending shockwaves. You want to start sending, you know, shots across the bow of politicians. Then this is what needs to be done to Liz Cheney and anybody else that is a part of that commission that's up there railroading all of these U.S. citizens who were exercising their constitutional rights. And they did a poor job in doing that, but at least they weren't violating the Constitution as Congress was, as Liz Cheney was, as Mike Pence was, as all of these, well, there's no really good word without using some bad words. So all of these, I'll just say tyrants, because that really is what they were. Everybody that was in Congress on January 6th, even Ted Cruz, was obfuscating the constitutional perspectives. Oh, let's have a commission. Let's just sit down and let's investigate this. What? Why? The Constitution is very specific in what it takes to change the manner in how we choose our electors. 31 states violated that. Ted Cruz, you were served with a petition that gave you that information, and you didn't understand it. You don't deserve to be there. We have a plethora of reasons why all of Congress needs to be flushed. Unfortunately, we can't flush the Senate in one election. It takes three elections to flush away the Senate. Or it takes the states. It would take the states that actually, you know, who those senators represent to step in and remove them for violating their oath of office, which they have the power to do. But we're not there in the states. We're not there in a county yet where we can actually start enforcing Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. This is why what we're doing is all about that. We are working on a path of empowering the people to be able to remove their public servants, that they don't get to protect themselves anymore. You do realize that the 14th Amendment, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, sorry about that, made it so that impeachment was no longer necessary. I mean, if you want to impeach somebody for, you know, ethical reasons, okay, that's fine. You can waste your time doing that because 9 times out of 10, nothing ever happens. But when somebody violates their oath of office, you don't impeach them, you remove them. That's what the Constitution states. It has no reference to impeachment. It has no reference to due process. They don't get to due process. They don't go there. That they must be removed. And so we need to start making laws that empower us to do that, to enforce the supreme law of the land. And who has the constitutional responsibility to enforce the supreme law of the land? Oh, it's the militia. That's right. Right there in Article 1, we already covered that. Anyway, so Liz Cheney's about ready to, you know, get her final notice, lose her little badge card and access into Congress. And, you know, because she's an elitist, they're going to continue to allow her to come in, and they're going to try to figure some way she can move to some state to become a senator. And it'll probably be a purple state where it won't be a hardcore blue state where she has to be a foaming-at-the-mouth communist like AOC. But I see that they're going to try to do the Hillary with her. And, you know, because it's all about the Cheney, right? You know, Prince Cheney, we have royalty in America. I've been telling you that. Andrew Jackson started this. And so, and every year we've moved along, the royal families have grown, and they expect access, and they expect their privileges. Folks, the only people that have privileges are U.S. citizens. The only people that have immunities are the U.S. citizens. We don't have an aristocracy, nor do we have a monarchy or royalty. So what has to happen is the Wyoming legislature needs to actually, as soon as they convene, they need to call together basically a commission or a committee to fully investigate and subpoena Liz Cheney to come in and have her explain to them where she got the authority to actually vote for this unorganized, or I should say this, these unconstitutional electors, such as the one from Wyoming, as well as the other 30 states, because Wyoming was one of the 31 states, and act because you'd think that the state legislatures would be upset and pissed off at Governor Gordon for overstepping his bounds and actually demanding, you know, justice for the violation of separations of power as well as the violations of the Constitution. And one way to do so is to first go after Liz Cheney and then turn around and go after Governor Gordon and remove him. But the whole process, and here's the beautiful thing, the state of Wyoming, as exercising Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, can ban Liz Cheney from public service ever again out of the state of Wyoming forever, and even not allow Congress to undo that because of her treasonous actions and charge her for treason and basically incarcerate her. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution. It would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so just because she is to be removed and banned, it doesn't mean that they cannot prosecute her and have her actually held accountable for violating and being involved in violating the rights of these U.S. citizens. And more importantly, she needs to be held accountable for actually violating the Constitution in her capacity as the, vice chair or co-chair of this committee. They need to go after her for the full extent of the law of actually violating the civil rights. What they did to these people is unacceptable. These are U.S. citizens. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. We have rights. Now, you don't have a right to go burn down cities. You don't have a right to cause property damage. You don't have a right to block commerce. You cannot block commerce. I mean, if you're going to petition, we're going to get into this in a few seconds here. If you're going to petition on property that is a grocery store or what have you, you want to make sure that you're well away from the entryways and that you're not blocking commerce of any effect. I mean, you know, you can sit there on the sidewalk. You can set up on the sidewalk so that you're safe from the traffic of cars. But the parking lot is a parking lot. Anybody can walk around. And so the whole area is a walking area. So sidewalks aren't just designated for walking traffic only, especially when, you know, these businesses allow for, you know, Girl Scout cookies to be set up there. In other words, they allow it for one, they have to allow it for all. But we'll get into that in a minute. More importantly, Liz Cheney and her cohorts, all people that have been involved, because this will actually start sending shockwaves through the elitist political arena in letting them understand that they have no right to trample on our rights. They're public servants. and they are to be, you know, treated as such, and we expect them to adhere to their legal oath of office. They are legally bound to support that Constitution. So the crimes that she's committing in actually violating the rights of these U.S. citizens, to be clear, I think you'll find it in Deuteronomies. And let me see. I think I can even pull this baby up. So hold on a quick second, folks, and forgive me for, you know, taking the time to do this. But this is kind of how it goes, because this is what Deuteronomy says. In Deuteronomy 19, it says, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had sought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put away the evil from among you. So she needs to stand trial for all of the, because she's actually violating the Constitution, where she's claiming that these people are, you know, seditious conspiracy. Her and all of the rest of her ilk have not only been seditious, they have been rebellious and violating the Constitution. Technically, it only takes two witnesses to prove that she was able to do it. And I'm telling you, with video coverage of her saying these things, that is witness enough, because it's not about, you know, a testimony. It's she is bearing testimony. See, back in those days, they didn't have video. They didn't have this ability to actually hold somebody accountable. And she has been out on national airwaves telling people that these people were violating the Constitution, when in fact it was she and her ilk, her cohorts. And so therefore, folks, it's this simple. All they have to do is do unto her as she has sought to do unto all of these people, and let her pay for all of the people that she's been affected. And oh, by the way, they also brushed away the justice for, was it Alicia Babbitt or whatever that gal was that got murdered by that Capitol guard who violated his oath of office, if he was under oath, and violated the civil rights of all these other people, especially the person that he killed. And because she's done that, she needs to be held to the fullest account of the law. Folks, they are doing everything they can to protect their little fiefdom so that they can continue to stir the pot of controversy and perversion of government in America today. Now, let's get really quick into these petitions. So let's say you go to Walmart. Let's say you go to Safeway. Let's say you go to, and we'll just say Walmart, but any business that, you know, you want to, you know, because it's the hub of the community. The hub of the community. You have a right to be on that property of that business, because that there's no such thing as private property other than your property and citizens' property. If you are a public business open to the public, that is a public parking lot. Now, you can keep, you know, you can create some rules to, you know, keep people from parking there and so forth, because you want your parking to be used by, you know, the patrons of your establishment. But you cannot make any rules or laws we don't have any rights to parking, right? But we do have rights of assembly. We do have rights of petitioning for the redress of grievances. And they cannot pass any law or rule to violate those. I mean, folks, let me take it a different way. Can a company, can a corporation, can a business actually violate or create laws that will violate, or rules and policies that outright violate your constitutional rights, like your right to carry a weapon, like your right to assemble, or your right to, you know, petition people, you know, or get people to sign petitions for holding government accountable for the redress of grievances. No, they can't. They can't deny your right of religious expression. And so, not that a person, I don't think any Christian would be in the right form that it's within their doctrine to pray in public right in the middle of a store, you know, because they want to express themselves. I mean, that doesn't jive too well with Christianity. I mean, it's almost using Christianity as a political weapon. And I don't think, I can tell you that there are scriptures that say when we're to pray, we should be praying in private, that we shouldn't be praying in public and those types of things, right? So, but that's Christian doctrine, that we're not supposed to make laws regarding religious expression, but we should hold ourselves accountable as Christians and say, really, are you doing that? Why? And so, nevertheless, when a state creates, so corporations don't just come in and they say, we're going to do this, and they hold all the controls. No, they don't. They have to come into your state like Walmart, and Walmart has to get licenses to operate. And every time they set up a store, they have to get licenses for that store to operate in that location and so forth and so on. And so there's no way Walmart can pass any rules or laws that fundamentally violate the Constitution, because no state can allow any law to be made or enforced in their state or in any county that violates the privileges and immunities of the U.S. citizens. Do you understand that? That's a 14th Amendment hardcore legal requirement that the states cannot allow any company, any private corporation, any business from being able to pass laws, policies, or have rules that violate the privileges and immunities of a U.S. citizen. That means they can't even vaccinate you. If a state goes as far as allows businesses to vaccinate you, and they enforce this rule of, okay, we're going to fire you because of that, then you have a great lawsuit against that state, because that state has violated your fundamental rights by enforcing a law of an entity that is under the authority of that state to allow that law to be made and to enforce it. Folks, you can't create and then have disassociation, say, oh, well, you know, they're operating on their own cognizance. We have no control over them. That's a bunch of crap. That is a bunch of crap. Every business has to basically go and submit themselves to getting licensed and so forth. You know, you as a citizen, you have your right to have your own business, a family business, and you don't have to actually go through a license. But when you talk about setting up and you're going to be employing people and those types of things, see, we've gotten it all backwards. When we look at self-proprietaries and individual personal businesses and so forth, they come after us by making laws that actually, you know, make it impossible for us to operate out of our home, that you have to have millions of dollars to be able to function in certain business capacities. And so what they're doing is they're creating an advantage for existing businesses and the deep pockets of big business, making it hard, if not impossible, for you to do those things. Folks, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort.
We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.